Colorado Springs, what's going on? Jim Rome here. Catch me in the jungle weekdays 10 to 1 on Extra Sports 1300.
Welcome back, Drive Time Sports. Yesterday, a new group presented their idea for a downtown multi-use facility, which the Switchbacks would call home. It would be located behind the Antlers Hotel, and the group is Activate Antlers Park, and one of the men at the head of that, Perry Sanders, joins us on the program. Perry, I know you're a busy man. Really appreciate the time. How are you?
Hey, great. How about you guys?
We're doing great. So not to get too bogged down in the past, because we've discussed it a little bit, but tell me where you entered this, where obviously there's that City of Champions money sitting out there. At what point did you look at that and you said, you know what, I have a great idea for what to do with that money? When did you come in on this process?
Well, here's the backstory to it, and we sort of backed into that part of it. The young Nick Reagan, who is co-owner of the Switchbacks and presidents of them, reached out to me because I'm a fan of the soccer team. Ed and I had looked previously at a way to possibly do something downtown. We were unable to get our hands on the study that was associated with all this. But Nick reached out to me one day and said, hey, would you be opposed to, if we could pull it off, putting the soccer stadium in Antlers Park? And it wasn't related in any way to C4C, which is the $27.7 million for the Sports and Events Center. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to meet with you. And we're back, speaking of the famous, we actually met at the famous and and got a bite and visited for a little bit. And when he got through kind of telling me his vision about it, I said, you know, this is obvious, and the good news is we have 1,500 plus parking spaces there in that property. We own about 250 of them, and the rest of them are there, and there's not activity in them after 5 o'clock, which is typically when games would be. So I said, that's a great idea, but you know, you're talking about, number one, a ton of money, and number two, if there is a place we can find to put the indoor portion of what C4C is looking for. The city had already announced that that was gone and they weren't going to do it, and it had gone out the window and we were going to lose that $27 million. I said, I think that I'd be all over trying to help do it because it'd be great to save the money. So I got hold of Charles Oaks at the depot right there while we were literally sitting there at lunch, and I ran by him the concept of the non-historic part of the depot property where they built in the 70s. That's just some stick built, you know, it's nice, but it's not historic. I asked if he would remotely consider if it would fit us putting the indoor portion of this so we could go try and apply for the C4C money. We met, and after a lot of working with architects and whatnot, it turned out big old jigsaw puzzle. It all fit together, and we checked all the boxes and we could get everything. Then we additionally ended up figuring out that where the childhood center is on the south side of Antlers Park, which has been there for years and was donated in 1899 also by Palmer, that it would act, the indoor center would also fit there. So we had two spaces to potentially put it, and we designed both of those depending on which one works best. But anyway, the Oaks family really stepped up and said they would support it if we could do it, because nobody wants to lose the money. And it would be a huge benefit to the city to start having tons of out of town and out of state athletic activities come to town. We've spoken with a lot of people from the USOC. They would love bringing different events there. So that's the backstory to how it all came about, is, you know, just sitting around scheming over lunch and making a phone call or two. It turned out we got buy-in from people that mattered. And then we met with Sports Corp, and Tom Osborne was completely on board with it. We met with El Pomar and other people, and we literally didn't ever seen any pushback at all until we got to a legal opinion from the city attorney, and it's our position that opinion could kind of go either way, and we wish it had gone the other way, and maybe that'll get rethought. And anyway, that's where we are.
Mr. Sanders, this is Chris. I've been a huge proponent of this downtown stadium. I'm a Colorado Springs native. I live up in Northgate. I never find my way out to the Powers Corridor, like, ever. I never go. And I do go downtown, even though I live way up north. How important is it to get this stadium done? How vital is it for the economic resurgence of downtown Colorado Springs?
Well, I think it's essential to ensure that the component that's getting built, for sure, which is the Olympic Museum. Think about who's going to go to an Olympic Museum more than athletic people, right, and their parents and other people associated with it that are coming from out of town. Do you think the Olympic Museum, a block and a half, 2 blocks away, would be a stopping off place? The answer to that's kind of a resounding yes. The reason this was put together by the state in this way and tied these two pieces together was because of the symbiosis of the, you know, the way they should work together. So I think it's super important, number one, for the piece that we already have in place, which Norwood and the Jenkins and whatnot have put together, and we've contributed a little bit too, and tons of other people have. But to make that work is still going to require a certain type of traffic, and we think it's the traffic associated with out-of-town people coming here for sporting events. So I think it's essential to make that work, number one, and that would be a travesty for that to be a failure. Number two, it's hugely important for downtown of any size in any city if they're ever going to go to the next level. I used to live in Nashville and own the studio there, and was in the music business. And until they put in spite of Music Row and how great all that was, until they started putting in sporting event centers, that city was pretty much flat. That's the beginning of everything, is downtown sporting events, in my opinion, based upon, you know, just my personal observation. Same thing kind of with L.A. When I used to live in L.A., and until the Staples Center and different things like that got put in, that was really Skid Row. So you activate downtowns that have sort of, you know, suburban sprawl ended up making for urban blight to a certain extent. You activate downtowns with very serious things to do for people. And something people love doing is going to sporting events. And if you think of this particular place, which, by the way, is just a giant wide open field with seats on both sides, my analogy, if you've ever been to Bear Creek Park or driven by it on 21st Street and Cresta there, that's probably the most used park I've seen in the city, or certainly one of the most used parks. It's a wide open field that has berms to sit on. So if you're watching people do anything from throw frisbee to play touch football, you got a place to sit. Imagine this just being basically being Bear Creek Park, but with bleachers versus berms. And that's what we're trying to get accomplished. And that allows us to check the boxes, to be able to get the C4C money, you know, along with a ton of other stuff that's required to get it. But the big deal is the playing field and the stadium size.
Last thing before we let you go, Perry, and again, we really appreciate your time on short notice today. So the apprehension is the legal side of, are you even allowed to build something there? So after yesterday's meeting, where are you guys going from here? Is there a second opinion you are seeking? Is there another city council meeting here in the near future? What's the next step for you guys?
Look, we've already had the legal analysis done on our side, but we're not the city attorney. Here's the deal. We're hoping that a second look is taken at this in light of things that we're trying to make clearer regarding the use of the space being consistent with what, let's say, General Palmer would have wanted. But I want to make clear, there's nothing sacrosanct about anything that got done back then. Mm-hmm. The two parks that were adjoining this park, one of them now is the daycare center, so that did not remain a park, and the other one is where the Wells Fargo, the beautiful building here that's part of this Antlers complex. Those were both parks donated by Palmer in 1899. So there's a real silly notion that you can't touch anything. In this particular case, we're absolutely leaving it as a park, publicly owned by the citizens, and all we're trying to do is activate it in a way consistent with changing times. And that is consistent with other legal opinions that the city attorney has put out, including in the Strawberry Fields case. And we just want the law and facts to kind of be evenly applied, if that makes sense.
It does, and I certainly appreciate you joining us today to shed some light on it and bring some clarity to this subject. Perry, hopefully this is not the last time we will talk on this road, but we certainly appreciate you taking time, and again, hopefully we could talk again soon.
You guys are the best, and we really appreciate you. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Perry. Perry Sanders from Activate Antlers Park joining us here on Drive Time Sports.